Welcome, my lovely listeners, to the Stories, Fables, Ghostly Tales podcast, and today is the final installment of Valentine's Week, and I wanted to end it on two positively disturbing and creepy stories. Our first story, Looking for Love by Grant Hinton, explores the darker side regarding the seed of love. And our second story, Mile High Club, is really just not what you'd expect. This episode has some explicit content, more than most episodes, so I advise you please don't have your children around, or young ears, when listening to these. More so the first story. This episode, I want to catch up on my shoutouts regarding my top listeners of this week, which are John Olav Ingolfsson. Goodness, you are blasting through these. Thank you so much. Megan Jones, thank you so much. Brian Archibald, Markiplier. User 7648285 3. If you do get a name, let me know. Wee woo wee woo. Thanks, buddy. User 13558837. If you get a name, let me know. Arkan Brother, cheers, mate. Corey 25 Lynn, creepy journalist, hey, mate. You have a ways to go. Dolphin in Cow, hey buddy. Quindon the Bunny Quinksy, cheers mate. Mary Cullen, and the one and only Troy Shaw, cheers mate. And my top cities are mainly from the US and Canada as follows. Orlando, Phoenix, Pittsfield, Atlanta, San Antonio, Los Angeles, Houston, Chicago, Fort Lauderdale, Dallas, Texas, Denver, Epsom, Simi Valley, and one for Canada, Toronto. Oh, and also two honourable mentions from my home country, Australia, Northcote, Australia, and Brisbane, Australia. Thank you so much for listening, and now grab your hot tea. I've got mine right here. That is good. Turn off the lights, the sound up, and get ready for something different. Have you ever had an experience that you didn't know was real or not? The blood on my hand suggests it's real, but I'm in too much shock to think straight. I have this friend, Tracy, who has always made me jealous. She's drop-dead gorgeous, tall, slim-toned body, a great backside, blonde hair, the colour of wave foam, and deep-set blue eyes that looks as if a storm is brewing within. She's the one out of my girlfriends that haven't settled down, and I often wonder why. Having two kids and a husband of 10 years with not enough time to get down to the gym or even wipe my ass has warped my body into a lumpy mess. I loathe my wide childbearing hips, big booty, dirt-colored hair, and tired baggy eyes. I can't stand to even look at Tracy when we meet up. She invited me out for a coffee 2 weeks ago, and before I decide to go to the nail salon for a manicure and pedicure. Afterward, I had my hair cut and went in search of an outfit to wear, determined to look my best. The next day, I put on my nice new clothes and my makeup, gave a quick kiss to my husband Tom and our kids, then headed out of the house. The moment I stepped into the coffee shop, I knew she had outdone me without trying. A random guy had just sat down at her table to engage her in conversation when I walked over, clearing my throat. Tracy bounced out of her seat and hugged me with a squeal of delight. I looked to the young man for an introduction, but she just smiled and leaned over him, and his stupid grin. "My friend is here now, so if you'll excuse us." The guy's smile faded. I realized that he was trying to pick her up. I laughed a little at his discomfort, but Tracy picked up on it and burst out laughing. The guy slumped off to his table, defeated. It felt good to see Tracy, The jealousy fell away as we continued to laugh and catch up on everything that happened since we last saw each other. Tracy told me she had just broken up with her banker boyfriend over some petty argument. I really couldn't keep up with her romances though. She seemed to be on a new one every few weeks. I think her longest relationship only lasted about 2 months, although I might be wrong. She started telling me about this dating app that appears to be all the rage with youngsters though. She called it Tinder. Apparently you put up a profile and do something with swipes that I didn't really understand. The app matches you with potential partners and away you go. It all sounded a little dangerous to me, and I expressed my opinion to Tracy. She agreed, but she had really wanted to try it. She told me that she'd already set up her profile and got her first match. She showed me a picture of her prospected date, Jake, and I was surprised to see a well-groomed man staring back at me. To say he was handsome would have been an understatement. Dark, smoldering eyes captured my attention, and even when I glanced at his chiseled chin with a small, thin smile, I found myself springing back to the eyes. I passed the phone back to her and blew out my cheeks. After discussing what the night might be like, we settled on pre-writing different texts, each one for a different outcome. One to let me know that everything was going well and not to worry. Another one for me to call her so she could make her excuses and leave. And the final one, for me to call the police and get to her as quick as possible. We laughed a little at the last one, and I teased that it would probably be the one she would use. I had just finished cooking dinner when I got the text from Tracy. To my surprise and relief, it was the first message. She was having a good time. After I cleaned up the family mess, I poured myself a glass of wine to relax on the sofa. Tom was snoring slightly, and I marveled at how lucky I was to have found my man early. No more worrying for me, and definitely no dating game. The next day I called Tracy to hear all about the date, and not to my surprise, the activities that followed. I found myself blushing when she told me all about how he was a gentleman throughout dinner, and how wild he was in the bedroom. We agreed to meet the next day for coffee, and a potential shopping trip as my kids needed new clothes. Problem was, Tracy never showed. I tried calling, but she didn't answer. So as a last resort, I dropped the kids with Tom and went to her house. She lives in a small complex of 6 apartments. Tracy lived on the second floor, apartment 2. As I approached the door, the smell of pizza hung heavy in the air. I knocked, and Tracy's voice sounded from behind. "It's me," I called. I heard her shuffle to the door and pull at the latch. When the door swung open, I grabbed at the side to steady my legs. Tracy looked horrible. Her hair was lank and greasy, her face white and clammy, and as if she'd been sick for days. But what really shocked me was the small pot belly poking out from her tight Care Bear pajama top. I couldn't believe what I was seeing as Tracy crammed pizza into her mouth. I voiced my concern, but she just shook it off, saying that she must have the flu or something. She was always hungry and felt drained all the time. She didn't let me in her apartment because it was a mess, but she reassured me that she would be all right in a few days and that all she needed was rest. I told her to call me if she needed anything and left. That was 2 days ago. This afternoon, she called me in a panic. The fear in her voice made me drop the vase I was carrying, and it shattered around my feet. Tom was at work, and the kids were at school. So I grabbed my bag and ran to the car. 10 minutes later, I was banging on her door. She wasn't answering, so I tried the handle, expecting it to be locked. It opened. I took a deep breath before pushing at the door. The heat and the smell hit me as if Mayweather had just stepped up and punched me square in the face. The pungent decay of rotting food and something else made me cover my nose. As I walked through the apartment, I could hear Tracy's labored breathing. I first thought that maybe she was doing some exercise to shift the belly she'd gotten from the illness. But as I crunched yet another fast food container underfoot, I knew that something was amiss. Tracy had always taken great care of her appearance, and was incredibly proud of her house too. I was shocked to see that the apartment looked in such an abysmal state. All the curtains had been closed, and the heat was starting to get unbearable. And rounding the corridor to the living room, I saw Tracy squatting by the couch. I initially thought that someone else had taken over Tracy's home until my friend looked up at me with tearful eyes. Her stomach had swollen so much that she looked like she was in the later stages of pregnancy. I've had friends carrying twins that looked small compared to her now. I couldn't wrap my head around the size of her belly. It seemed truly bizarre. I rushed to her side, and she held out a hand toward me for a moment before snapping it back to her swollen stomach, groaning in pain. The skin around her bulge was stretched so tight. It appeared dry and flaky, like when you pull pastries just before they tear. I didn't know what to say or do, and just stood like a zombie until she grabbed at my sleeve, pleading for help. I couldn't think. I couldn't breathe. As I watched her stomach move like something was within, Tracy screamed and I stumbled back, falling hard on my ass. My friend's stomach rolls and moves, an outline of a face pressed against her tight skin. I could clearly see the chin and eye sockets underneath. Tracy panted heavily, screwing up her face in pain. She let out a shrill scream and my blood froze. Her eyes rolled back to white and her head tilted backwards to the ceiling. She clawed at her clothes and tore off her pajama top. Her breasts were huge, her stomach grotesque, and she screamed again as a small tear appeared at her chest. I watched in horror as the skin tore apart and two bloody hands pushed through. The tear stretching down to her pubic hair, the blood-covered hand stretched out, and a slimy, hairless head followed. I kicked back into the TV cabinet as Tracy groaned and slumped to the side. The child thing fell from the rip and landed on the floor in a pool of blood and amniotic fluid. My eldest child is 7 years old, and I swear this thing was bigger than her. I didn't think my blood could run any colder until the child thing moved and sat up. As it smeared the blood away from its face and eyes, a noise behind me startled me into turning around. Jake, her Tinder date, stood smiling in the doorway. He extended a hand towards me and I scurried back. I started to cry as a wet slap made me turn again to the child thing. It had gotten to its feet, wobbling unsteadily as it made its way over the messy wooden floor toward Jake. The creature took Tracy's date by the hand and its legs grew steadier. Jake looked up from his child to smile at me. The same thin smile that Tracy had shown me 4 days ago. Jake winked and turned around. They slowly walked down the hall, leaving a smear of blood on the wooden floor as they left the building. I sat there for what seemed like years, trying to comprehend what had just happened, until a small gasp sounded in the hall. I instantly shrank back in fear that Jake had come back. But it was only the lady who lived below Tracy. She had called the police. When they came, I had to relive the whole traumatic event again. The police said that they are looking into the case, and with Tracy's phone and the CCTV at the restaurant, they may have enough to find this Jake. I'm not sure if the police will ever find him, or exactly what they will charge him with if they do. Somehow, I don't think their jurisdiction reaches to whatever world he is from. Our next story is Mile High Club by J.D. McGregor. It started as a dare. By the time I strapped myself into seat 30A at the back of the plane, it had become more of a personal challenge. The flight from Brisbane to Kuala Lumpur is a little under 8 hours, more than ample time to finish the deed. It's just a question of whether or not you have enough backbone to pull it off. Understand, my mates and I are some real hardcore types. A proper rowdy bunch. Sit down for a round of pints with us and you'll hear a few stories that'll make you rethink your place in the universe. On the most recent night out, however, maybe a week before my vacation, we realize none of us was a member of the Mile High Club. Shocking, but also an opportunity. What could be more alpha than being the first of your mates to join the club? Doing it on a whim with a complete stranger, no premeditated efforts, no giving myself the inside edge, just straight up throwing myself out there. The flight attendant was the first to catch my eye. She had this high-pitched, nasally voice. Sounded a bit like a wounded goat or something. Had to cover my ears as she raised the seatbelt above her head and showed us where the emergency exits were. But damn, was she cute. She was more than cute. She was hot. Couldn't ask for a better candidate. All I needed was an in, and I found it in the breast pocket of my polo. A Marlboro cigarette.
"Smoking is strictly prohibited,"
the voice over the PA said.
"An alarm will sound if smoke is detected in the lavatory."
I wouldn't even need to light it. I just needed to bring it out at the correct moment. Right when she passed, so she would have to start the dialogue. "Sir, please put that away." That's all I would need to see if she was game. Right after the seatbelt sign switched off, I saw her point my direction down the hall. As casually as possible, I pulled out the cigarette and twirled it in my fingers. It was in plain sight. There was no way she could have missed it. But she didn't say anything. She strode right on by and started arranging things on the food trolleys in the back. Feeling a little disheartened, I put the dart away. I wasn't in the mood for hard to get. A quick survey of the other passengers didn't do much to kindle my interest. I stood up and saw an empty row of seats smack in the middle of the plane. It was the perfect spot. There was bound to be a dance partner somewhere around there. Sure enough, I was in luck. Right as I took my new seat, I found exactly what I was looking for. In the row, right in front of me, no less. The girl was a platinum blonde stunner. 10 out of 10, first overall in the draft type. She looked to be in her mid-20s. To her left was a creepy-looking middle-aged married man who obviously couldn't believe his fortune getting assigned the seat next to her. The guy's head is permanently oriented to the side. He's babbling endlessly about God knows what. The girl must have a heart of gold or something to keep politely nodding her head the whole time. I'm pretty sure I only heard her say 4 things, all part of a recycled response rotation.
"Yeah, yep, oh, ha." Huh.
The guy doesn't take any hints though, he just keeps talking. Any moments of silence, he finds a way to fill it. It was already starting to annoy me after 5 minutes of sitting there, and I wasn't even the target. I was still figuring out how I was going to break the ice. I was just a victim by proximity. Finally, the dude's bowels grace us with a gift. "Don't go anywhere," he said with a wink as he got up to go to the bathroom, close to where I was sitting originally. The girl smiles. The moment the old creep is out of sight, it fades. Her shoulders relax and her head presses back into the seat. The poor girl was exhausted. I hope she left something in the tank. She had no idea what kind of guy was sitting behind her, watching the entire thing. I straightened my shirt as I stood up, my target still unaware of my presence. I can't lie, I got a little nervous. I mean, wouldn't anyone? I'd never actually accomplished this badass feat before. I still wasn't sure exactly how I was going to pull it off. This girl let out a long, agitated sigh as my shadow cast over her. I could hear her hold it as I made my way to the back of the plane. I slid my little shank through the crack in the door and slid the lock open. Piece of cake. Why would they serve food with metal cutlery after you get through airport security? I looked both ways before entering the bathroom to make sure no one saw. Everyone was asleep or looking the other way. More good fortune. I literally caught the guy with his pants down. The smallest squeak escaped his lips as I plunged my shank into his throat. Blood started pouring out. Once he went limp, I turned him around and held his head over the toilet. I managed to get most of the blood into the bowl. Only needed a few sheets of paper towel to get the rest. I was ecstatic. Couldn't wait to tell the boys. I wanted to scream to the heavens. I was so happy to be the first one in the Mile High Club. After the cleanup, I poked my head out of the bathroom. No one batted an eye. It was like no one even noticed I went in there in the first place. The back area was empty as well. More good luck. I hoisted the dude's body up. With one gentle motion, I brought him over my shoulder. I pushed the door open with my foot and stepped out. Quickly, I turned to the back and stuffed him behind the rows of dirty food tables. I wondered how long it took after landing for the cleaning staff to find him. So, here's my advice to you. Want to do something really alpha? Join the Mile High Club. It's quite the rush. Trust me. My goodness, both these stories have a level of ugh associated with them. I love the grotesque imagery in the first story and the sharp and snappy twist of the second story. What the heck would you have done if you saw your friend just birth that creature? My answer would be, kill it with fire. Or, I'd kick it so hard I'd give the kid and his guitar-swinging arm from the last story a run for his money. What would you be thinking? I first thought, destroy the abomination. Or, track Jake, perhaps. See what we could find. Maybe that could be the sequel. Let me know what you think, though. I love hearing listener speculation. It's always interesting. And this concludes this week's Valentine's Stories, you lovely, lovely listeners. And I'm back to normal next week with creepypastas, no sleeps. And you know what? I'm going to do some listener stories. I've been sitting on them for a while, and I really want to showcase how creative my listeners, you guys, are. So I'm going to start with those. Stick with me next week, my creepy peeps, and share this podcast around if you can. Share and scare, mates. Share and scare. And lastly, have yourself a fantastic weekend. And on that note, this is the place where stories live, and you tale tellers come to listen. Enjoy your day or night, and join me every weekday for our creepy tradition. And as always, till next time.